From WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. North Carolina is the second largest pork producer in the United States. Hog farming in the state is largely concentrated in the southeastern region, including Duplin, Wayne, and Pender counties, and parts of Sampson County. According to the 2012 U.S. Agriculture Census, North Carolina sold nearly $3 billion in pork products that year. Of that, Duplin County was responsible for north of $600 million, and Sampson County came in second in pork sales with more than $500 million. Looking beyond sales to the industry as a whole, the North Carolina Pork Council puts the economic impact at $11 billion. But it's a complicated industry, and it's currently the focus of a complaint filed with the Environmental Protection Agency against the state agency that regulates hog farming, what is now North Carolina's Department of Environmental Quality. Ed Emery of North Carolina Farm Families, how many hog farms are there in the state?
Right now, Rachel, we have 2,100 farms that are permitted to grow hogs in North Carolina.
If you take a snapshot of the last 50 years, the hog farming industry has changed significantly. Can you talk about how it's changed over the last several decades?
The major growth was in the 1980s to the mid-1990s. And in 1997, the state of North Carolina had a moratorium on the construction of new farms. So no new farms have been permitted or expanded in North Carolina since 1997. There is a lagoon and spray field system that the wastewater from the house is pumped into a lagoon. Now, this lagoon is scientifically engineered. It's lined with clay. There are anaerobic processes that go on in a lagoon that treat the waste.
And what does that mean?
That means that these processes go on and it actually eats some of the waste up. And so what is applied to the land is a weak solution. But every farmer in North Carolina that has a hog farm has to six times a year sample what they are pumping out of their lagoon onto their own land, send it to a state lab to have it analyzed so that they can be assured that what they are spraying does not go over the limit that they are allowed based on the agronomic rates.
So where then are these groups like Waterkeeper Alliance, how are they coming up with these claims that there is, what is this, Elizabeth, fecal matter in the water? Is that what the claim is?
Yeah, I mean, the 2015 study analyzed nutrient pollution in 54 sub-watersheds across North Carolina and found significant water quality impacts where CAFOs are present. CAFOs are the closed animal feeding operations. That's an abbreviation. I mean, these studies go all the way back to the mid-90s, and there's several each year that document the pollution, the water pollution, the air pollution as well. There's hydrogen sulfide gases. There's ammonia gases. We trace it to what Ed referred to as the lagoon and spray field system. So that animal waste goes directly into open pits. Ed said they were lined by clay. They're unlined pits. They're dug in our good eastern North Carolina soil.
It's a clay lining that has to be so many inches thick that is compacted, that's impervious, so the water does not leak out. That's the fact.
Even if the rules are being followed, though, just remember, I mean, we're talking about nearly 10 million hogs in 2,100 farms. We used to have between 15,000 and 20,000 farmers that raised hogs before the industrialization of this production, and now there's only 2,100. So, you know, when you think about family farms, traditional family farms that we know of, that we think of, this is a very, very different practice.
In a nutshell, what we find is that in areas like the Northeast Cape Fear River Basin, especially Duplin County, the soils there are typically very porous, meaning that the water, rainwater and spray water, trickles down rapidly. And also the water table is high, So when you have a combination of high water table and porous soils, when you add a pollutant in a liquid form, it's going to very rapidly reach the water table and go on and move into the nearest stream. And that's exactly what we have found is occurring in Duplin County.
I noticed that in some of your earlier papers that you published, the papers in the 90s, you start out with some pretty catastrophic rain events, large rain events like big storms and hurricanes. Are you saying that this happens not during large rain events, but just as a matter of course in a normal season of weather?
That's correct. Like I said earlier, the lagoon failures earlier on were generally connected with very, very heavy periods of rainfall and so on, and as well as hurricanes as well. But when you sample on a day-to-day basis, we did sampling in 2013, in fact, and we found excessive levels of ammonia, of nitrate, and fecal coliform bacteria in the streams that are adjoining these swine spray fields.
Well, all of agriculture relies on nutrient applications to promote crop growth. And so if you take issues with the soils in Duplin County with regards to their porosity or high water table, they're fertilized by commercial fertilizer the same way they're fertilized by swine manure effluent, as we've discussed. The difference is that a swine farm is regulated with regards to the amount of nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium they can apply, and it's very regulated dependent upon the crop being grown and the yield being grown. It's called the rate at which it's applied is called an agronomic rate.
I would contend that we are having less of an environmental impact now with the hogs that we're growing, even though we're growing a greater number, because we can control it. I remember when pigs were grown in the branch, they were grown in the swamp, and I think those 3 million probably were causing more damage to our environment than the way we have it now. Our farmers and our industry is continually looking and investing in new technology in making this operate better. Just in the use of water alone, we have cut the amount of water per pig that we use as far as wastewater treatment in half over the past 10 years.
The diets of animals have changed, how the genetics of animals have changed. And the fact of the matter is that today, compared to 20 years ago, there's about half as many nutrients in the waste stream as there was two decades ago. So that is a huge change.
Paddocks, a complaint filed with the EPA about a year and a half ago alleges that the hog industry disproportionately impacts minority communities, violating Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. How did the complainant arrive at these allegations? Why do you say this is an issue of environmental justice?
Well, the complainants are the Waterkeepers Alliance, the North Carolina Environmental Justice Network, and REACH, which stands for Rural Empowerment Association for Community Help, which is based in Warsaw. And those organizations had been working for quite literally decades to try to get the state regulatory agency, then called DENR, just recently changed its name to the Department of Environmental Quality, or DEQ, first to do a disproportionality analysis to look at how the permitting, its permitting general permit specifically of these industrial hog facilities disproportionately impacted communities that are protected under Title VI of the Civil Rights Act. In other words, disproportionately impacted communities based on their race and ethnicity. So African Americans, Native Americans, and Latino residents of North Carolina are about twice as likely to live within 3 miles of one of these polluting facilities as white North Carolinians are. So they had been trying to get DENR to do, or DEQ to do that analysis and to modify its permit so that the impacts of these facilities would be less burdensome for the people who live near them.
These are farms that have been in place for many, many years, and I doubt that anyone would say that they were deliberately located in order to impact communities of color. I mean, it wasn't intentional.
Under Title VI, there doesn't need to be discriminatory intent. Mm-hmm. You know, the effects are the effects, and they're discriminatory, so the people who live there are experiencing the injury just as if they were being intentionally discriminated against. There's lots of ways short of ending the lagoon and spray field system altogether, which ultimately, you know, as Mike Williams from NC State has indicated, will have to happen. It's just an unsustainable system, you know, with the geology and hydrogeology of eastern North Carolina. But they could require the installation of end-of-pipe controls on confinement houses that would filter the air, that would alleviate some of the stench. They could require drip irrigators or other irrigation mechanisms that don't rely on those jet-powered sprayers. They could incentivize retrofits on existing hog houses that would help alleviate some of the odor and the flies and the other health impacts. They could, you know, require the permitted facilities to meet the clear standards to reduce airborne pollutants. There's a whole list of things that we've given them in the complaint that would help. Requiring groundwater monitoring.
Duplin County is ranked number 6 number 8 out of 100 counties in having a good physical environment in which to live. And that's according to the State Department of Health. Sampson County is ranked 16 out of 100.
In a nutshell, my concern is that we have in North Carolina so many CAFOs, both swine and poultry, and of course recently a rapidly increasing poultry industry, that the landscape and the environment couldn't possibly absorb the impacts. So in North Carolina in the last roughly 20 years, we've seen a 21% increase in the number of chickens in the state. We've seen about a 22% decrease in the number of farms or CAFOs. So we're seeing even more concentration of even more birds. So that's concentrating waste, which is very problematic for the Cape Fear River and other waterways. Most people know about the problems of the swine industry, but now we're seeing the poultry industry compounding those problems by increasing the amount of industrial animal waste that we have in the landscape.
John Carter, current contract farmer with Purdue, how is animal waste handled on your farm? What's the process?
Well, it's totally different than the hog industry, first because it's a dry product. What we do is we work through a litter broker. We have a nutrient management plan, but we also work through a litter broker that keeps all the records. He goes, and it's a very natural product to use, and many of the farmers use it to land apply before their crops go on.
So Kemp Burdett, Cape Fear Riverkeeper, the way John Carter is describing this dry litter that then gets sold to a farmer who's going to use it as fertilizer, what's the problem with that?
Well, I don't think it matters if we're talking about litter or bananas. You can have too much of anything in an environment. And so in North Carolina, you know, we're seeing that an average broiler produces about a quarter pound of waste.
Do you mean on a daily basis?
On a daily basis, correct. We're seeing that, you know, these barns have anywhere from 22 to, as John mentioned earlier, 28,000-29,000 birds. So if you start doing conservative calculations there based on 5 flocks per year, you're seeing about, just in the Cape Fear River Basin, there are about 5,000 chicken barns. In the state of North Carolina, there's about 14,400 chicken barns. So if you add all that up, you get about 8.2 billion pounds annually in the Cape Fear River Basin and about 23.5 billion pounds annually of poultry waste in the state of North Carolina or in the Cape Fear River Basin, respectively. That is a number that is so big it's almost incomprehensible. It doesn't matter what it is. The fact that it's waste that has high levels of nutrients, has high levels of bacteria, is very problematic. And we're just talking about poultry right now. We're not even considering the fact that this is stacked up on top of already existing problems related to swine spray fields.